a wormhole, probably about to burn. In a white tunnel, are you ever gonna learn? See a land, probably gonna merge. Gonna be dead laying in the dirt. Funny how you smart, but you still a nerd. Play your part, world gon' turn.
What's up? This is Jared Gerth. My co-host Jordan Rain is going to do our 2020 IDP My Guys episode, Ride or Die, who we're going to decide, you know, going to plant a flag with this year. You know, we did a few last year as we went through the season, but we're just going to put it right off the cusp even before big training camp starts. So what's up, yes, Jordan? Sir. How are you doing?
Not much, man. Happy to be here. Excited to do this. This is fun. I remember last guy, one of my guys, was Avery Williamson, and then he tore his ACL, so that didn't work out. But I remember my other big my guy was Buda Baker, and then he ended up having like 150 tackles, so that worked out pretty well. So I'm hoping this year nobody in this group tears their ACL, but hopefully we hit some big winners and help some people put some players on their team that are actually going to help them win their leagues, you know. So I'm excited about that. We've been talking about it for a few days. I've had my eye on two of these guys for a while, and my last one was kind of hard to figure out who it was going to be, but I kind of just went with my gut and a guy I really think is going to crush this year. So I'm sure you did the same.
Yeah, it was pretty easy for me. I actually had to adjust my rankings because we made a deal that it wouldn't be one of our top five guys. But I've got a guy, you know, that we've been talking about that is definitely in my top 10 and probably not in most people's top 10. So,
yeah,
we'll get to that.
We should go ahead and, I guess, kick it off. We'll start with linebackers. Do you want to go ahead and just go first?
Yeah. You know, I've been kind of preaching the guy for a little bit, my guys, Tahir Whitehead. And the biggest reason, you just look at him, he's consistent. He's the veteran on that team, you know, moving to Carolina. They went and got him for a reason. I think he's just – I mean, you see so many tackles already gone by Luke Kuechly. You've got a young backfield because Eric Reed's gone. I'm just not a believer that Shaq Thompson is a prototypical linebacker. He's had a little injury prone. He's, you know, he's a converted safety. He was a great athlete in college, and I like him overall. But I think Tahir Whitehead is prototypical. And if you look at his stats from the combine and you look what he's done, you know, at Oakland – you know, and let's be real, Oakland has dogfired. I mean, he had nobody in front of him, no help, you know, to do what he's done. So he's kind of had to make plays. And I think he's going to be more of a guy that lone makes plays, two gets a high tackle number. And I'm even thinking like six sacks this year. So I've got big aspirations for the guy. I kind of kept quiet early in the season because I didn't want people in other leagues to get real high on him before I went after and drafted him. And I've drafted him in every league except for one, and I got him in a trade in another league. So
nice. Yeah, I like that pick. I mean, we've talked a little bit this offseason. You know, Kuechly's retired. Eric Reed is gone. So there's definitely, you know, tackles to be had. And I was seeing something yesterday. Adam Levitan, I think, tweeted something out about how this defense is so young. The mean age is like 24 or something. And he just expects them to give up a lot of yards and a lot of plays. So that's good for defensive players. You know, the more yards, more plays, the longer these drives are going, the more tackles, the more opportunities for interceptions, pass deflections, things like that. So that is a good situation for an IDP player to be in. So, yeah, Tahir Whitehead, I think I like that pick a lot. I don't have him personally in any leagues right now, but I think, you know, he's a guy that's definitely acquirable. So that's something to like about him a lot. You know, he's going to be cheaper than, you know, a younger guy, especially in a win now team. Maybe you're a linebacker threes, you know, you're looking at like a Quan Alexander or, you know, a rookie and like a Jermaine Pratt. You know, you could go get a guy like Tahir Whitehead and you can feel a lot more comfortable, I think, with him in your lineup than those other guys. So
he's a great floor guy, and I think that, you know, you're looking at 120 tackles possibly, and like I said, six sacks. Yeah. If he's your linebacker three or four, you're just not going to be wrong. I mean, he's my linebacker three or four in another league. Like my big league, I talked to you with Brandon. I've got another league I have 10 defensive players, but I like the setup that we have in that other league because it's close to IDP 1-2-3 scoring. And I have Bobby Wagner, Corey Littleton, Kenneth Murray, and Tahir Whitehead is my fourth. And then my fifth, I'll talk about in a little bit because I'm really concerned about him being my bonus guy today.
Nice, nice. Well, my guy, or, you know, ride or die this year at linebacker, I'm going to go with Rashawn Evans, linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. He was drafted, you know, in 2018. Wasn't the first linebacker taken, but he was a first-round linebacker. So, you know, a couple guys that went ahead of him, just, you know, for example, Leighton Vander Esch, Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, I believe, went ahead of him as well. But aside from that, I mean, Bradley Chubb, but he's really he's an outside linebacker. You know, Rashawn Evans was that next guy up. And he had this last year, you know, he eclipsed 110 tackles last year. He had 111 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss is something I really like. You know, it shows he can get behind the line of scrimmage pretty consistently. Something that I noticed, though, that I don't really like about him is he has, you know, I always talk about pass deflections. He has no pass deflections in 2019. So that's not a huge, huge knock necessarily, but you just have to know that he's probably not going to get you those kind of auxiliary points. But I'm okay with that, knowing that he's increased his productivity every year. He's been in the league, only been in league two. He's got the first round draft capital, so he's not going anywhere right now. He's only played 2 years, so he's on a 4-year contract. So he's going to be there this next year, playing next to Jayon Brown, who I know a lot of people are a lot higher on Jayon Brown, just as a general rule of thumb. But I mean, the difference between him and Jayon Brown is really, you know, point wise, is almost nothing. It's really going to come down to draft capital, and you can get Rashawn Evans later than Jayon Brown, which makes him a more desirable option to me. Now, Jayon Brown does get pass deflections, you know, so there's ways for him to make up points, but Jayon Brown doesn't have the tackles for loss either that Rashawn Evans has. So there's a little give and take there, but for me, Rashawn Evans, I mean, 111 tackles, his first full 16 games played. I think that, I mean, like, that's kind of, it's his floor and his ceiling, but I think his ceiling's going to go up, you know what I mean? I think he could easily push into that 120 tackle range. You know, he's getting 9 tackles for loss. I mean, if he gets 7-8 again this next year, that's good. No pass deflections, like I said, not great, but I can deal with that. And you can draft him as your linebacker 3, you know what I mean? So to get a linebacker 3 who's probably going to go over 110 tackles pretty easily, you know, kind of like we just talked about Tahir Whitehead, and he's younger too. So I mean, we don't necessarily know what his career arc is going to be, so it could be even higher. So I'm in on Rashawn Evans. He is one of my guys for 2020. And, yeah, I've got him in a bunch of leagues. I have him in leagues where I have Jayon Brown too. I mean, I'm not scared to start both of them. You shouldn't be either, you know. I mean, points a point's a point. So
that's if you look at Pro Typical, Rashawn Evans is much bigger than Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown is one of the smaller linebackers in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the facts. He's not a big guy. And Rashawn Evans is, I mean, you see the video that we just put up, and he runs away from defenders. I mean, dude's quick.
Yeah.
You know, he's
for a big boy.
He is not a small guy. He's Pro Typical. I mean, he just takes off here, you know, and I get there's some big guys chasing him.
But
there's Tyreek. Yeah. I mean, he's right. It just shows you Tyreek Hill's, you know, they call him the cheetah for a reason. I mean, he just posted a video this morning of him and Mecole Hardman racing and outrunning Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman was the fast guy in the draft people were talking about last year. And I don't believe that, but he's fast. Let's not get this twisted. And they shut it down at 40, and he's 2 yards in front of it. So it's – if you look at that and you look at, you know, his intangibles, he's got a really high ceiling in the aspect that – what he was drafted at is what you expect of him. He's a first round linebacker, and I think that he could have a big year. I'm 100% with you. I love Rashawn Evans. So,
yeah, I'm pretty excited about him. You know, like I said, he's my guy. Jayon Brown is good. Jayon Brown cost you a little bit more, but Rashawn Evans can hang. You know, he doesn't get the pass deflections, but, you know, and I'm a big pass deflection guy, but he does other things to make up for that. So, Rashawn Evans is my guy at linebacker. So, I guess we're going to go to defensive line next. Who you got for us?
Come on, dog. Everybody knows it's Josh Allen. All right. I had to adjust my rankings because you and me we said that we wouldn't pick our top 5 guy. Okay. I think I made a number 6.
And to scoot him
just
down.
Just so I could have this conversation. because I think he's going to finish at top five. I really believe that. I think that he has a – and you might as well just book it now because I'm going to say this. I think he has a better year than Danielle Hunter.
Woo! Right? Okay.
I'm just saying it now. I think he has – I think just an overall better line, you know, right now. Danielle Hunter is going to have to do it by himself. All his studs are gone, dude. Linval Joves is gone. I keep talking about this. I'm worried about Danielle Hunter's production this year because he's the guy that everybody can watch. They don't have to worry about Linval Joseph. They don't have to worry about Everson Griffin anymore. So both those guys are all pro players. Mm-hmm. And you still got to worry about Yannick Ngakoue because he's still trying to get paid, whether he gets moved or not. Right? They've got Clavion Chase on him in the middle that they just drafted, which I like. But, man, dude, his closing speed is real. I mean, this guy is – he's got the speed of a middle linebacker playing rush end, you know, and
got some you give me all of it. Got some long arms.
I mean, he was top 20 in quarterback hits last year, and he played, what, 45% of snaps? And this is crazy. You know, they introduced him to the league, basically, and every time he played, he had a big game. So I love it, and I am planting my flag. I mean, I've been talking about him. Everybody knows I've been talking about him, but this is the my guy's episode, and he's my guy. So, Ryan, Tim's, you know, Ryan T22 said this morning, he's like, well, it's going to be T.J. Watt and, you know, Josh Allen, but I'm still gonna watch. So, shout out to Ryan. You know, I was going to do it, but why wouldn't I? I mean, he's my guy.
Why not? There you go, my guy. That's what we're here for. That is what we are here for. I love that pick. I've got a lot of Josh Allen. I love the dual eligibility on Sleeper. I mean, I've got him in several leagues as, like, playing him as a linebacker, basically, because I have other DL guys, and I'm like, I'm not scared to do that. Like, I'll take a big game over a safe game. You know, that's kind of how I like to set my lineups personally. I don't know how everybody feels about that. But anyway, all right, so my guy at D-line, another guy who's double-tagged. And I've talked about him a lot. I mean, Robert Quinn is my guy at defensive line this year. You know, he moved to Chicago from Dallas last year in Dallas, 11.5 sacks in 14 games, only 36 combined tackles, but 13 of those are tackles for loss. And he had 22 quarterback hits again in 14 games, two pass deflections. He's usually he had three pass deflections. He's usually good for a couple of pass deflections a season. He had this 1 year in Miami 2 years ago where he didn't. But, I mean, you just have to remove everything from Miami. Anywhere Adam Gase is, you just have to just negate it. Null and void. Literally nothing happened. Everybody has their worst season of their career, does jack shit when Adam Gase is around, and that's true with defensive players as much as offensive players, unfortunately. So, like I said, 11.5 sacks. He gets to play next to next to Khalil Mack now. Not huge on Khalil Mack just because his production since leaving Oakland, as far as IDP is concerned, has basically been completely leveraged on his forced fumbles and his disruptive, super disruptive plays. I mean, his tackles have gone down by like 40%. His sacks have not gotten up to where they need to be. His tackles for loss, he hit like career lows or right next to career lows since he's been in Chicago. He's just not the same player on paper that he was in for the Raiders. Now, that doesn't mean he's not as good a player. Sure, he's still the same guy. Sure, he gets the same pressures. He does the same things for a team, yada, yada, yada. I'm not here to argue the semantics of how good Khalil Mack is. I'm just here to say that Khalil Mack has not finished as an elite defensive line option in a while, and you have to pay up to get Khalil Mack as an elite option when you can get Robert Quinn. I mean, you can get Robert Quinn a full 10 rounds later, guys. Like, literally, that's not hyperbole. Or hyperbole. I mean, that's 10 rounds later. And they're 1 year difference in age. So they're 1 year difference in age. We've seen that Robert Quinn has an elite ceiling. We've seen that Khalil Mack has an elite ceiling. For whatever reason, Khalil Mack's elite ceiling is something that we're all still holding on to, and people are just fading Robert Quinn. And I'm not doing it. And I said they're not the same age. They're the same age. They're both 29 right now. So give me Robert Quinn for cheap as a guy who I can play as my defensive line 3-4. A draft is my defensive line 3-4. I mean, you don't have to pay up for him at all. Let's play some hype here. So what we got here? He's going to sack my man Kirk Cousins. I mean, just look how quick he is off the edge. You know,
and that's not, you know, a small aspect here. We're talking dude, Minnesota's offensive line is pretty stout.
Yeah.
And this dude don't even see him. he just looks at him and says, well, he's gone. I'm just gonna go over this guy. Yeah. I mean,
it's so the big knock on him, I will say, is his tackle floor is kind of low. I mean, you're gonna be happy if you get 40 tackles out of Robert Quinn. So there is some risk there. But another guy who's in a similar kind of situation is Chris Jones, who I love. You know, you can make up for these things in other ways. And I have full confidence that Robert Quinn playing with Akeem Hicks, who's supposed to be healthy now, across from Khalil Mack, I think Robert Quinn's going to thrive this year. I think you can pencil him in for another double-digit sack season. You know, he had 11 and a half in 10 game or 14 games this last year. I think he could easily hit that number again. And the quarterback hits, I mean, 22 last year. He gets behind the line of scrimmage, and he's disruptive. So I'm going to take some Robert Quinn. That is my guy this year. I currently have him ranked at DL23, I believe. I think he could easily be – I mean, I think there's a world where he could be a top 10 guy, but I think he's a pretty safe bet as your DL2, and you can get him so cheap right now, it's kind of unreal. So
yeah, he could be your DL3 mega cheap. So,
that's
I'm with you 100%. I like Robert Quinn. I mean, you know, we talked about him last year, and as soon as he was on the team, we talked about him. Like, listen, man, Robert Quinn could be a guy that you got to play. And I mean, let's be real. Did we talk about DeMarcus Lawrence at all? Because Robert Quinn was the guy to have last year.
We talked about him.
DeMarcus Lawrence wasn't.
We talked about him in as much as he didn't do much last year. I mean, I had DeMarcus Lawrence on a couple teams last year. I mean, I was just like not starting him by the end of the season. Like, I was benching him for Max Crosby and Sam Hubbard, and because I just had more faith in those guys. I mean, even, you know, some defensive tackles. It was like, so I'm, you know, I messed up. I took DeMarcus Lawrence. I probably should have taken Robert Quinn a little bit more last year, but I think Lawrence will be good again this year coming back. I think that the injury recovery slowed him down a little bit. But yeah, Robert Quinn's my guy at defensive line for 2020. Let's talk about some defensive backs. Who you got for us for your my guy defensive back?
So it's funny because if there's one thing I can talk about, being a floor guy, and if I can get a linebacker, okay, Devin Bush had 70 tackles, right? 71 tackles last year, solo tackles. Do you realize that Terrell Edmonds had 71?
Mm-mm.
71 or 70. One of them had 71, the other one had 70.
I didn't realize
so
that.
If Devin Bush is going to be a linebacker one, how is Terrell Edmonds, who teams weren't having to throw against them because Pittsburgh couldn't throw the ball last year because once Ben got hurt, let's be real, they weren't stretched in the field at all. It was a ground and pound game. They got the running backs hurt, just happened. This year, you're going to have to throw to beat Pittsburgh. And you're going to have to get into the secondary, which just makes me like Terrell Edmonds more because 2 years ago, right, when he had two interceptions, you know, 60 tackles as a rookie, how do I not like him more now? And I have considerably argued Terrell Edmonds. And if you just look at the stats, guys, he doesn't get hurt. He's consistent, you know, 70 tackles, solo tackles. You know, 71 solo tackles. He had more solo tackles than Devin Bush last year, right?
That's
so
wild.
And yet we keep not talking about this. I mean, if Devin Bush is that elite, and we believe he's that good, because I mean, let's be real, he was tied for number one last year in my rookie IDP 4-1-1, and I believe he should be there. And Terrell Edmonds isn't talked about. We have to talk about it because 71 solo tackles last year, you know, they didn't pass against the guy, so we didn't have many interceptions. Minkah Fitzpatrick's right next to him, so you're staying away from him. You're going to stay away from Minkah in a full season because he's going to embarrass you and otherwise. So you got to love the fact Terrell Edmonds is going to have a big year again, right? I mean, I love him. I think the floor is great on him. So Terrell Edmonds is my guy at defensive back.
I love that. 71 solo tackles. I was kind of – I mean, that's shocking to me. For whatever reason, I was kind of unaware of that.
And you're a Pittsburgh guy.
And I'm a Pittsburgh guy. That's only – dang, that's crazy. You know, Derwin James the year before had only had 75 solos. So, you know, it's definitely something to think about. He doesn't get any shine, any love. I love that pick. He's a great value for people this year. That's excellent. IDP Army, y'all listen to my man Jared here. Go get you some that cheap, cheap Terrell Edmonds and profit. Love that pick. All right. Well, my guy at defensive back this year is a guy I've kind of talked about a little bit. We said we weren't going to do anyone in our top five, but he's in my top five, and I just left him there, so I'm just going to do him anyway. And that is my boy Jabril Peppers. You know, this last year he really kind of finally stepped it up in a way that we all kind of thought he would early in his career. He ended up with 76 combined tackles total, five pass deflections, five tackles for loss. He had an interception. He had a touchdown. He was trending to be a top five defensive back this last year. Actually, if you prorate all of his, you know, his stats and all of his averages, and he would have played all 16 games, he would have been defensive back five. He would have tied Landon Collins. You know, I still see some people fading Jabril Peppers, and I just want people to know that that is not the play. You know, he's that guy that he was in college. He's still an elite playmaker. It just hasn't shown up on the field because he's unfortunately been in some not great situations. You know, he played for the Browns with what was that guy's name? You remember the dude, the bald dude that was so terrible. Hugh Jackson.
Oh, Hugh Jackson. Yeah.
So he played with him, awful. And then they had the Freddie Kitchens. Or was that?
Well, they had Greg Williams. Greg Williams was their defensive coordinator. So, but Greg Williams isn't the guy that
He was playing him off the line of scrimmage. Like, so far, he just wasn't able to thrive. You know what I mean? And he went to New York, and he was able to kind of move up a little bit more and just, you know, be that hybrid linebacker defensive back that he really is, that thumper. You know,
he's such an athlete. So.
He matched his 16-game season in Cleveland 2018 as a free safety. They moved him to strong safety when he got to the Giants. And in 11 games, he had almost identical stats. So, I mean, he was pacing to be an elite option. And for whatever reason, people don't want to buy in. I don't get it. Yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't even his neck, though. It was his back. It was like a lower back muscle. It was it was a cracked vertebrae, and they weren't doing anything. And their season was pretty much moot. They didn't bring him back out. He could have come back out and played, apparently, from what I saw. They chose to sit him. So. Yep. To protect him for his health for this season. Now they've got Xavier McKinney, Blake Martinez, so there's going to be a little bit more competition there for tackles. Before, he was playing with Bethea and Ogletree, but Bethea is an elite tackler himself. You know, he wasn't giving up anything for Peppers. Peppers was still having to work for these tackles that he got. I think he's going to ball this year. I don't see a world where he's not a top 10 guy. I have him at five just because of the big play. I mean, he's capable of it. You know, he can be a difference maker, and this defense is a little different. I think they're gonna have a little bit more swag this season than last year, especially with Blake Martinez and McKinney coming in. So I'm a fan, and I think that Jabril Peppers is pretty much a lock top 10 defensive back.
Yeah, I like it. You know, Xavier McKinney is a great addition to them. He's going to fill a role that you want out of Antoine Bethea. Jewis Peppers, people compared him to Charles Woodson as a high school player, and he was the, you know, if not the number one, the top two guy, you know, as a recruit in high school. And, dude, he's got some hype. And to be able to be that comparison, to get a Charles Woodson comparison ever, you're elite. And if he can stay healthy, I'm 100% with you. You know, Antoine Bethea's tackles are going to go to somebody, and everybody thinks it's Xavier McKinney. You got to give Jewis Peppers some love. And if you don't, you got to think about Jabril Peppers, not Jewis Peppers. Peppers. I love Xavier McKinney. He's a high tackle guy, but he's going to let some stuff behind him. And Jabril is the guy that you really have to think about getting a lot of points this year. I'm with you. I like him. I drafted him. But I had to trade him because I was looking at something else. And I'm always willing to make moves. Everybody's tradable on my team. I can tell you that right now. I have CMC in a league with you and me, and I'm pretty sure you and me play each other first week that year. And believe me, CMC is tradable. So just for Eric Price, though.
Well, if Jordy's listening, he's gonna send that trade. I know he's always making moves in every league I'm in with him. He's dropping ad and on the block. I mean, he's a busy man.
I love Jordy, dude. Yeah, he's always moving somebody. So
yes, sir.
For the right price, I'm telling you, CMC's always tradable.
Yep.
And I'm not crazy. It's just a little. I just like a little more than somebody might want. All right. Well, that's a pretty good list, dude. We're gonna do a bonus guy here.
Yes, sir. So, a bonus player.
Man, this is tough for me. Okay, because I mean, I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at Bud Dupree. I'm looking. I like Bud Dupree in the aspect he might get his grievance done, and he might be a defensive lineman. You know, defensive end instead of linebacker. And that's a big pay jump for him. I like Marcus Golden. I like all these guys. But I'm going to continue to plant my flag with Max Crosby. Okay? He's my bonus guy. Everybody's like, oh, it was a fluke. Listen, man, the guy had hand surgery and came back and had 10 sacks. Right? Let's not get this twisted. He's the guy. He's what they wanted out of Clelin Ferrell. Okay? They drafted Clelin Ferrell top four pick. And they got Max Crosby in the fourth round, which ended up being a better deal. So Clelin Ferrell better bust his tail in camp because Max Crosby is screaming up this list. Carl Nassib comes in, gives a little veteran preference, you know, a little looking that time. I'm telling you, Max Crosby does it again right after it. I'm not even shaking my head about it. I mean, how many games did Max Crosby start last year? I mean, and did what he did. You know, we were talking about Max Crosby early in the season and often last year, and for some reason got faded. Oh, Clelin Ferrell's going to have a big year. Bro, did we not watch the same season last year? Because Derek Carr had his best year, and he has more weapons this year, which means if you want to beat Oakland, you're going to have to throw the ball. Which means you got to, you know, think about Max Crosby being more sacks this year. I mean, this guy is – you just can't gripe about where he's going to be.
Yeah.
And
I mean, 16 tackles for loss. I mean, that's more than Cameron Jordan. That's more than Danielle Hunter. That's more than T.J. Watt. That's more than Robert Quinn. It's more than a lot of guys, you know.
Some big names on that list.
Yeah, some big names. He's put himself in the mix there. I mean, I think did he lead the rookies in sacks, or was that – I think Josh Allen actually had 10.5, but Max Crosby had 10, so he was the guy right behind him. More sacks. Well, I guess we have the sack leaders right here. Let's just pull them up. What we got? Yep, Josh Allen had 10.5. Max Crosby had 10. And then way
– Josh Allen had 10.5 at, like, what, 60% of snaps? How is he not my guy?
Yeah. People are a little worried, I think, because Campbell's gone. But
I mean, that's why I like him.
No, I agree with you. I think that he's got some serious upside there. Yeah, I mean, Max Crosby, 10 sacks. I mean, he's top five tackle for loss guy. I mean, he was tied. But, I mean, still, that's five's five. I mean, tied with Dante Fowler, tied with Max or Nick Bosa. So, he's a legit player. I know people are fading him. Here's my thing with fading players and recommending people fade players. It's like, well, I need to see him do it one more year. That's a cute thing to say, but all you're doing is watching. Now you've watched 2 years of production happen on somebody else's team. That's all I see. I'm going to have to see Shaq Barrett do it again. Why? So next year when he goes and plays for the Jets and doesn't do fuck, you don't have him, and you got to watch him blow up on somebody else's team in Tampa Bay for 2 years because you didn't believe? Like, you got to get in. And if you don't get in cheap, you're not going to get in later when he costs a lot either. Don't tell me you will. Oh, well, now I'm in on Max Crosby now that he's a top five guy. No, you're not. Now you're going to go look for a cheap value. These guys are that cheap value right now. Like, you know, do you want to miss them 2 years in a row? I don't.
Well, I know that, you know, I've sent numerous trades for Max Crosby, and I've been shot down because they want Josh Allen. And I get it, man. I want both. Okay. I mean, and I have Eric Armstead. I have JJ Watt. And guess what? Both those guys are on the list for me to get Max Crosby. And I love JJ. I think JJ Watt has a monster year this year. You know, he's saying he feels better than he does ever. He's the only player that I've seen get 50 quarterback hits in a season. He's done it twice. So
yeah, he's unreal.
Yeah.
And And you have to assume health, you know, at some point. I mean, yeah, maybe he gets hurt. But that's part of the – that's baked into his draft cost right now, which is cheap, you know. I mean, he just had 16 sacks 2 years ago, right? Played all 16 games. I mean, we're just that much removed. I mean, he was crushing in quarterback hits this year before and pressures before he got hurt. I mean, he's still that guy. I love that.
Yep.
My bonus player for my guys is a guy that I love him. I mean, I've got him in my D tackle specific leagues. He's a guy I love to get kind of late because people are all about the shiny guys, you know, and that's Larry Ogunjobi. Third year in the league, had 50 tackles this last year. Love me 50 tackles, 5.5 sacks. You know, I'm not expecting my defensive tackle to blow up, but I mean, if you can, he's had 5.5 each last 2 years. That's not bad. I mean, if he can get, you know, 6-7, or even if he gets 4, the fact that he's got the 50 tackles on top of that, I'm fine with. Then 10 tackles for loss each of the last 2 years too. So, I mean, he gets behind the line of scrimmage consistently, whether tackles for loss or the sacks. I mean, in a 16-game season, he's getting you either a sack or a tackle for loss in every game on top of the fact that he's getting 50 tackles. I'll take that all day long. And he gets to play next to Olivier Vernon. He gets to play next to Sheldon Richardson. He gets to play next to Myles Garrett. So this is a disruptive group of guys, you know, and there's going to be opportunities for big plays to happen. I know he had one pass deflection last year. I wish that was a little higher. Didn't have any splash plays, you know, fumble recoveries or forced fumbles, but it doesn't mean couldn't happen. And so as a guy that you can get much later than like Chris Jones or Grady Jarrett or DeForest Buckner, I like him a lot as a guy that can, you know, be a viable starting option with similar value to those guys. So in D-tackle specific league, I'm a big fan of Larry Ogunjobi as my guy this year. Yeah. And that's kind of my thought process on him. I have him in a couple of spots. And even in some of my DL leagues on Sleeper, I mean, I've got Larry Ogunjobi as like my DL 3 or 4 because I know I can play him every week, you know? I mean, that's what you really want. You want a guy that he's not going to let you down. I feel like Larry Ogunjobi's never really going to let me down. He's never going to probably win me a week, but I'm not going to have to be like, oh man, like he totally tanked me because my expectations aren't super high. You know what I mean?
Yep. So. I'm with you. Man, that's pretty much it. You know, we got a quick comment. Somebody asked me what my number one was for my linebacker.
Yeah, we got some questions here. Let's pull them up. Who's the number one linebacker and your number one safety in this year's rookie class from RJ Trail?
So we're a little different, I think, on our safety, but my number one for linebacker is Kenneth Murray.
Same.
I think he has a monster year. You don't give up 2 draft picks to go get a guy that you're not going to play, and they're going to play him plenty. And exactly. It sounds like, you know, just the camp, and if anybody knows, I follow him like crazy. He's having a really good camp so far. Like, everybody talking about, man, we're getting what we thought we got, so what we paid up for. So we both agree Kenneth Murray's our guy. The rookie, let's be real, it's either going to be one of 3 players. It's going to be Xavier McKinney, Jeremy Chinn, Antoine Winfield, maybe even Kyle Duggar because of all the players that are gone from New England. For me, I mean, it has to be Jeremy Chinn. Just because, and it's really close between Jeremy Chinn and Xavier McKinney, because who knows what's going to happen. But for me, it's Jeremy Chinn because there's so many tackles gone from Carolina. I mean, that's just so many. And I think Blake Martinez and Jabril Peppers swallow up most of it in New York, you know, that you didn't have. Because Alec Ogletree isn't Blake Martinez. He wasn't in his younger days, but he's not now. And Blake Martinez, I'm pretty sure, led the league in tackles last year. So, or even, you know, I think top 5. So,
yeah, Blake Martinez had 155 tackles last year. I think he was the 2nd or 3rd. He was a beast.
Yeah, ridiculous.
My number one DB in this rookie class, I'm looking at my rankings right now, is Jeremy Chinn. But, I mean, here's what my rankings look like. At 18, I have Jeremy Chinn. 19, right behind him, I have Xavier McKinney. Then I have 2 other guys, and then I have Kyle Duggar at 22. So, I mean, I have all 3 of these guys as DB2s, and they all are in good spots. You know, I mean, they all have the athletic profiles you want. Two of them are small school guys, so that's a little interesting. You don't necessarily have the clout coming with them that you do have with Xavier McKinney. But again, you know, ball's ball, and these guys are really good, and they were all three. You know, Chin had the least draft capital. He's taken at the end of the second. But McKinney and Duggar went, was it like back-to-back or two picks away from each other at the top of the second round? They were New England's first pick was Kyle Duggar, and then the second pick by the Giants was McKinney. So they're going to –
you got to watch out for Winfield, though. I mean, that guy was brought up in football.
And, I agree.
I mean, he was elite at Minnesota. And if you – and thing is in a strong run, tough nose – football in the Big Ten to pass and to have that many interceptions in the Big Ten, you're a boss. So that's a lot of interceptions considering opportunity given in that, you know, it's not a pass happy league. I mean, it isn't the Big 12, right? It is. So that's big. Another question is going to be interesting at the bottom of this, but.
All right, let's do this one. We got Russell Mavis. What up, Russ? He says, I like Sweat and Barrett as value players that could blow up. I agree I agree.
I love Sweat.
I love Sweat. I'm not a big Barnett guy. I mean, he's been in the league, what, 4 years now? And he's just – I mean, it's the same song and dance every year. Oh, this is it. Derek Barnett, he's gonna be so great. No, he's not. Like, he's going to be exactly what he has been, basically, as far as I can tell. And that's – I mean, I was thinking this morning. I mean – there's no team that's pandered to and inflated more than the Eagles. Every effing player on the Eagles is just the greatest. From Carson Wentz to their tackles to their everybody's so great. But when I watch them play, I don't see a super elite kind of team on the field. Now they did add Darius Slay, so now they have some corners. But I'm just not a huge fan of this Eagles team. I think they're not even the best team in their division.
You know, I'm not sure. Is
people are shoo-in.
Might be an Eagles fan.
People are trying to give him a shoe into the playoffs because that's what the Vegas sportsbooks are saying. So everybody's just on that, and that's fine. You can be that guy. I'm just not convinced that this team is as good as everybody acts like it is, and that's every positional player. I feel like is just a little bit, just getting a little bit too much love, offense, defense, all the way through.
I'm with you. They're not super deep. Derek Barnett is Derek Barnett, and when it comes to Montez Sweat, dude, let's be real. Washington might have the best front four in the league.
Easily,
it's scary.
Yeah, it's not even a competition in my opinion.
Yeah, man. So. Montez Sweat last year had a pretty high. You know, if you look at his IDP fantasy numbers, pretty solid, dude. I mean, we're talking.
He didn't blow up. But he played a lot of snaps.
Consistent.
He started every game, which I think he's the only rookie last year, a defensive lineman, that started every game, which kind of makes you be like, oh, crap, because his numbers weren't huge. But you look at the guys around him, Jonathan Allen and Ioannidis and Payne. I mean, these guys were all eating. They're all feasting tackle-wise. They were all getting sacks. I mean, there was a lot of competition. It wasn't a one-and-done kind of situation where it's just one guy that's getting all the work. They were pretty spread out. He was just a rookie, still had seven sacks. He had more combined tackles than Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, and Max Crosby. He had 50. You know, I mean, 50 tackles, 10 eight tackles for loss, two pass deflections, two forced fumbles. You know, he started, like I said, he was like the only guy of the rookie class who started all 16 games. And remember, he had like this whole thing with his heart. Yeah, where it was like, oh, maybe we'll go play. This guy was out there starting day one, you know, and he put up big boy numbers on a big boy line.
We talked about it. I'm telling you, like, you know how rumors happen, you know? Washington started that rumor, bro. So, I mean, they went up to get him knowing he was going to drop and knew that they were going to get a steal. He's a steal.
Montez Sweat was almost my guy over Robert Quinn. That's how I feel about Montez Sweat. Adding Chase Young is just all the better. You know what I mean? It's like last year, you weren't not starting DeForest Buckner and Nick Bosa. You know what I mean? You can start multiple guys on the same line. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think people should be scared off because, oh, Chase Young's there. Now Montez Sweat's not going to get any work. No, he's going to play still. And that's another thing, too, where – I know the organization's a little different. People are like, well, maybe Chase Young, you know, gets eased in, blah, blah. They didn't ease Montez Sweat in. Motherfucker out there, snap one, day one. go. And then he just played like 750 snaps. You don't think they're going to drop Chase Young in that exact same situation? Go, play, create, do what you do. These guys, they're going to be in a position to succeed, and it's going to help everyone succeed. So good point there by Russ on Sweat.
My next question is interesting. Best rookie after Chase. Because, man, this is tough. It could be Clavion Chase on, which I'm really high on. I like Yuta Gross-Mastos. Josh Uche is screaming up the charts after all these players are opting out of the New England Patriots. So Uche is going to be a rush linebacker, which in sleeper I'm pretty sure he has dual eligibility right now. It's a tough one. You actually got to saw Clavion Chase on in person. And
he wasn't there. He wasn't senior.
Oh, was he not? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought he was going to be. He's real, man. I really like him. He's got to be pretty high on my list.
The thing with him, though, is he's still linebacker eligible everywhere that's, has the dual. He's linebacker on MFL by default, and he's still a linebacker on sleeper, which kind of sucks. If you're in an edge designation league like ESPN has now or Flea Flicker, then, yeah, he's going to be great. But right now, he's not even a DL in the main spots that most people play fantasy. I like Kinlaw. If you really got to – it's Kinlaw or Epinesa for me.
That's what I'm really thinking about for you.
Kinlaw. Yeah, Derek Brown is a little – I don't know. Like, I just don't – the pass rush upside to me just doesn't seem to necessarily be there. I think he's going to be more of a, take on blockers in the middle, get some tackles. I don't know if he's going to be that pass rush guy. It's going to be Yuta Gross-Mastos and Brian Burns, I think, that are really getting those tackles for losses and getting those quarterback hits and stuff. And I think that
– I love the Kinlaw pick.
Yeah, it's hard for me to put – Derek Brown in that same conversation, even though he went higher in the draft. So,
bro, I don't know why, Russell. I don't know why you're on Terrell Lewis. Have you looked at his stats in college? Why? Just not a fan. And we talked about this. People went and got him for what reason? I don't know. I'm not a huge Terrell Lewis guy. I mean, there's tens of guys that actually had better. I'm pretty sure
Terrell Lewis is name. This class was just not super deep at defensive line. I mean, that's why last year you had, I believe it was like 16 of the first 32 picks were defensive line players in some way, shape, or form in 2018. Whereas this last year, what was it? Only three guys went in the first round. I mean, it was Kinlaw, Brown, and Young. I mean, that was it. So it's definitely a whole different vibe this year as far as the draft went. So there's slim pickings,
So as we talk about age, and you watch what Robert Quinn did last year. DeMarcus Lawrence getting a little older. They're gonna have to, they paid him a couple years ago. You look at guys like Neville Gallimore, and Bradley Anae, who they took in the fifth round, by the way. Yeah. Could be steals because they've got DeMarcus Lawrence getting a little older. Gerald McCoy is their number one defensive tackle, who's older. I love Gerald McCoy, but if he was so good, wouldn't Carolina kept him? So Neville Gallimore is the younger version of Gerald McCoy. And they went to the same college. I'm telling you, watch out for Neville Gallimore. He's a beast, man. He's a solid guy. And Bradley Anae, he only just makes sacks, man. The guy had three sacks in the Senior Bowl. When you guys show out, he showed out. And you want to talk – guys who got their job basically because of the Senior Bowl, Michael Gallup, that's on Dallas, right? He's just an average wide receiver. He looks really good in the Senior Bowl. Got drafted, 1,000-yard receiver for Dallas. Darius Leonard, I mean, the GM will tell you, and we went and got Darius Leonard because of the Senior Bowl. And Bradley Anae had three sacks in the Senior Bowl. So, yeah. And we were talking about Bradley Anae long before the Senior Bowl. I like him. I think it was a steal of a pick. Utah was extremely underrated on how good their defense was last year. Watch out, man. Bradley Anae could it sucks that they don't have a rookie mini camp and, you know, preseason to show what they really have, because their guy's going to get cut because you just don't know what you've got with a guy. And that sucks.
Yeah. I like Bradley Anae. He's one of those, you know, again, we talked about the defensive line, like one of the best defensive line players in this class, Bradley Anae, fifth round pick, you know, so that just shows you the talent. I mean, people didn't view this class as talented and as worthwhile as the last one. So,
dude, AJ Epenesa, we love him, right? I mean, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, and he had maybe the worst combine of all the guys.
Yeah,
and still drafted high.
Oh, he did. He went like the third round, second or third round to Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't super high.
He still went pretty high considering. I mean, that dude.
Yeah, considering.
Bombed the combine. So.
Yeah. He looked like a total dad bod out there.
Yeah, I was not upset, to be honest with you, because much talent. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's all I've really got for my guys. That's all we got really right now with the questions coming in. The IDP Army has been here and representing the whole time. We've had some viewers, so we appreciate that from the YouTube and the Periscope and all the spots y'all are at. Guess we should wrap.
Yeah, make sure you guys hit us up in the comments and let us know who your guy is. It'd be nice to talk about that. So
exactly. Tell us your three guys. Who are your big three people at each position that you kind of are leaving a lot of drafts with this year? I have, like I said, I have so much Rashawn Evans. It is insane. So he better hit.
I'm Josh Allen, but I don't think I'm missing it all with this guy, especially Clay Campbell even. So
yeah, Steve Manis, these real cool things. I'm going to pull them up real quick. So we got my guys, the three originals. We got Rashawn Evans from the Tennessee Titans, Robert Quinn, now of the Chicago Bears, and then my dude Jabril Peppers from the New York Giants. And then Jared's guys, we had Tahir Whitehead of the now Carolina Panthers. We have Josh Allen for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Terrell, don't sleep on this man, Edmonds from my Steelers. Love it.
Bob, thanks for the love. Let's bring Steve back in here and see what he's got to say. See if we missed anything up. I said Julius Pepper, so I know that. But
Steve, are you here? Are you with us, Steve?
Yeah, I'm here.
Steve's with us.
Yep.
Welcome back.
I mean, how do we do? Other than the Julius Peppers things, I mean,
Jabril Peppers, Julius Peppers, I mean, they're both pretty good at football, so.
They were and are,
exactly. Yes. Well,
you
guys,
got a guy that you're – you got a guy you're like – we didn't talk up, Steve, that you're like yeah.
Who's your guy, Steve?
You know what? I'm going to write an article about it.
Ooh, okay. Tell people where to find that.
Yeah, you can find my articles on DFF.
There you go. Steve wrote a good article about Jamal Adams, and he wrote a follow-up piece on Jamal Adams after the news broke. So you guys need to go check that out. And, yeah, I'm like interested to see the – Steve's my guys. Get those posted to us, buddy. But that's it for me, guys. You know where to follow us on the Instagram and on the Twitter sphere, at 50 Shades of Drunk, at Jared Gray, at The Dynasty Chef, at IDP Army. That is on Twitter and on Instagram. Leave a little comment, review. You know, that helps, you know, put this in front of more eyes. More people are playing IDP than ever. I fully think that this time next year it's going to be much more normalized and mainstream. You know, we're building the community up. We're putting out good information. We want people to drop into that first IDP this year, feel prepared, feel ready, draft some dudes, and, you know, win some leagues and feel that rush that you felt that first time you played fantasy. And we are here to help you do that. And win, you know, there's nothing better than going into a league like, I've never played like this before, and then just winning. Just being like, yeah, like, I'm already better than everybody in this league, and I just got here. Like,
you know what I've noticed? Even though people are worried about COVID cutting the season off, I've noticed people still getting involved in IDP, like new people.
Mm-hmm. That's what matters.
It is growing and it is fun, you know, and it's something that, I mean, I think that is a lot of, I mean, don't want to toot our horn too much, but I mean, we pound the pavement for this shit. I mean, we've dropped a show every week since like this time last year. I mean, we, you know, not, you know, guys, you guys are all watching and people are listening. We've been doing this when there was nobody listening. We would sit on here and we would talk for an hour and there'd be one person watching. I mean, we've been grinding it out. We've been building it up, and, you know, it's good to see that that is paying off.
We also just went over our 100th episode, just us three.
Damn, that's what's up. Yeah, so we have a ton of stuff on our YouTube channel, guys. We have live streams. We have, you know, start sits from all the season. We had, you know, we had a whole different show we did last year. We did two shows a week. So that's because, you know, we're putting out good content and, you know, we're helping people win their leagues and get better, smarter, faster at IDP. So it's growing. And, yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for some of these IDP Army Dynasty leagues that we're in. We got some good stuff going on. So
it's fun.
Yep. All right, I guess we're going to go ahead and sign off, guys. We'll be back next week. The next three shows are going to be ranking shows. And then the season should be here like that. So here we go.
Crazy.
Yep. All right, I'm going to hand do it.
Until next week, we appreciate you guys. Thanks. Always hustling. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
In a wormhole, probably about to burn. In a white tunnel, are you ever going to learn? See a land, probably going to merge. Going to be dead laying in the dirt. Funny how you smart, but you still a nerd. Play your part, world gon' turn.